Chris, would you take the roll, please? I guess we need to do that.
Council President Cardoza? Yeah. Councilmember Jones?
Yes.
Councilmember Lubin Vanderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Here.
Mayor Steer?
Here. I don't see Scott Piper, so if you will join me for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. The first item we have on the agenda is the consent agenda. Are there any questions? Or one thing that we do have on there is the utility fees. That's something that has historically been done on the consent agenda, but certainly is appropriate if council wants to pull that for discussion.
Mayor, I have one question. I don't think I need to have it pulled off or somebody could answer. It's item one on page 13 of the accounts payable. Probably addressed to Bob. There's a payment of $68.86 for an underground pedestal downtown revitalization. And it looks like it came out of the contingency. Was that the last contingency that we took out, or is that over and above it?
Councilman Cardoza, that was for the one of the parts of the underground Idaho Power project, putting the relocating utilities underground in front of Super C. That was part of that project. That was kind of a pre-phase to it. That was funded separately by council.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Anything from you, Pat? No?
No, I'm good.
I move we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the consent agenda as presented. All those, Chris, would you poll the council?
Council President Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Jones?
Yes.
Councilmember Lubin Vanderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
That motion carries. Thank you. All right. The next item on the agenda is a community report from Allenbaugh House. Diane. Hi.
She's getting that going. Let me just introduce myself. I'm Diana Lacciando. I'm the Director of Community Partnerships for the City of Boise. But I'm here today really as the Professional Resource Chair for Allenbaugh House. So what I'm going to do is kind of give you a little bit of history, a little bit of background, and then kind of move into what the current state is, what's going on, and what the question, I believe, before Human is today.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, so go ahead and go to the next slide. Thank you. So to try and condense some histories, I know you have a busy agenda tonight. Probably more than 10 years ago, there was a lot of concern in the larger community that there really was no place for people to go who needed detox resources and mental health crisis resources if they didn't have health insurance. And you know, there continued to be issues of folks being admitted to the ER, folks filling up the jails who really didn't need to be there, but they had really no other place to go. So after a number of years, a group coalesced together to bring about the creation of Allenbaugh House, which is our community's Ada County Region 4's Mental Health Crisis and Detox Center. It is governed by a unique entity called the Joint Powers Entity, which is made up of Ada County, the City of Boise, the City of Meridian, the Boise City Ada County Housing Authority, Idaho Health and Welfare, and we just added Garden City and Eagle. It's operated by Terry Riley Health System, which if you're familiar, they're a medical care provider really all throughout the Treasure Valley with a focus on serving those in need. Go ahead. Thank you. So, again, just to give you a little bit of flavor, Allenbaugh House provides medically managed detox services. I'm not in this field myself, but for different types of substance abuse issues, it's not something you can really do on your own. You might be in danger of actually dying if you're not medically managed. So that's why it usually is taken care of either in the hospital or the jail before Allenbaugh House came to being. Allenbaugh House is really part of a larger kind of thinking about how do we address some of these social issues in the larger community called the continuum of care. So just to give you a flavor on the types of things, some of the data coming out of Allenbaugh House, in 2016, 964 admissions, average length of stay was 5.5 days, max time is 6 days. So they are getting people in and out really and turning those beds over as quickly as they can. 61% of the clients completed the full course of treatment. It is a voluntary facility, so they don't have to stay the full time. But only 18% were repeat client visits. And then I think what's interesting below is to see kind of the breakout of the different types of substances that might be used. What I have heard over the last number of years that Allenbaugh House and really the community as a whole is starting to see more poly substance abuse. So someone may have an alcohol addiction issue, but they also may be using opiates at various times. And like much of the rest of the country, we are experiencing a surge in the use of opioids, which often may begin with a prescription drug, but then turns into heroin. Go ahead. So this was for this past fiscal year. This is where the income of Allenbaugh House was coming from. As you can see, the vast bulk of that is coming from the Department of Health and Welfare, followed by Ada County, City of Boise, our health systems, and the City of Meridian. Okay. This is where I personally think it starts to get sort of interesting. So if you were to go to St. Al's or St. Luke's and ask them what their cost per night to address detox or mental health crises issues would be about $1,500 per night. And as you well know, that gets borne out by the rest of the community if those people are not able to pay. It does kick over to the indigent fund, for example. In contrast, at Allenbaugh House, they can address that for just shy of $400 a night. So there's really, it's a better location for people to be in, and it also is saving dollars. So I am not a mathematician, but I can use Excel. So when I multiply the cost savings per night and I multiply the length of stay, what we end up with is a little over $6,000 client per savings per stay. Multiply that by the admissions, and your estimated savings to the larger community is a little over $5 million a year. Are the Boy Scouts doing the math with me? Maybe? Okay, go ahead. So for fiscal year 18, these are the proposed funding amounts. All of these funding amounts have been agreed upon by the partners with the exception of health and welfare, given the way fiscal cycles work, that will have to go in front of the legislature in the next legislative session. Go ahead. And I've been making kind of a roadshow, you might say, over the past several months, going to meet with the various municipalities in the area. These are the potential additional partners we've been talking to. We have calculated some potential contribution amounts for those municipalities. It's based on a 0.68 per person in your municipality ratio. There's no magic to that, except we were trying to make it equal and fair. So that's where we landed. And that's based on your population estimated in 2016. As I noted, Garden City and Eagle have already signed on and have joined into this group. Just for some additional background, Allenby House has been open for a number of years. We are able to calculate or to ascertain where folks originate from to a certain degree based on zip codes. So you can see we have had any number of folks come from CUNA. So with that, again, I want it to be relatively brief. I know you have a busy day, but I'm happy to stand for any questions. And your police chief is also here today. He might have some perspective on the law enforcement end of things.
Okay, questions?
I just have one at this point. How young of folks do you admit? Is it 18 and up, or do you provide?
It is 18 and up. This is an adult facility. Yeah, great question.
Further questions? I'd just like to thank Diana personally for the work that she does, our roundtables on homelessness and housing and that type of thing. And this type of thing, you really show a need or want to help people that really need the help, and I appreciate that very much. And you've actually helped bring us into the discussion so that we know what the issue is. We don't see homeless people with standing on the street corners asking for money here in CUNA, although they do exist. And so, although we don't see it day to day, it's certainly something that we'd like to get ahead of. And I appreciate everything you do.
Thank you very much, Mayor Steer.
Thank you.
Appreciate
it. All right.
Any questions?
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for
coming
out.
Thanks so much. So the next item is KPAL appreciation presentation. Captain Cody Aldrich, Ada County Sheriff's Office. We've seen you before.
Yes. Mayor, City Council members, Cody Aldrich of the CUNA Police Activities League. The purpose of this presentation is to say thank you and to celebrate what the city's doing with youth activities and how you're trying to really, I didn't know that presentation was actually before ours, and our goal is to link kids with pro-social activities so that we're hopefully not having to address those things as they become adults. And it's great to see the Boy Scouts here and those type of activities. So I'm here on behalf of not only CUNA Police Activities League, but all youth activities in the CUNA area. And just to say thank you for your support. The city's been great. We've done everything with the CUNA Police Activities League to not ask you for money, and we want to continue that. But it is an expensive program, and it takes a lot of community support and membership. We don't turn anyone away, regardless of their financial status. And so, I've told you the numbers before, but we scholarship a large portion of our kids that participate, and it really makes a difference. And so with that, the first presentation that I'd like to give, I'd like to have JB come up here. So Jaden's one of the participants. And I was talking to the mayor, and as you know, the city of CUNA supports youth sports in the way of letting us use city parks, so Harbor Ridge with CUNA PAL, and then we also have the opportunity to use in baseball the city ball fields and other areas. And, these guys have been absolutely phenomenal, very gracious, and very responsive, and we can't thank you enough. So on behalf of the Youth Softball Baseball Association, I'd like to present the mayor and city council members with the state trophy from our 2017 season. So thank you for that.
And Cody said we get to keep this for a little while. And
yeah,
that seems fair.
It's a loaning program. But, no, thank you, Mayor. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Appreciate
it very much.
Thank
you very much. You guys did awesome.
Yeah, no, and they did a great job. And it's not just about winning and getting a trophy. Again, it's about we got feedback. And just, I know you're on a short timeline, but for them to do that, we beat Twin Falls. We beat East Boise. We beat Nampa. We beat Meridian.
Wow.
So they did a great job. But what was really cool was when we played the final game, I had multiple coaches and parents come up and say, hey, you guys do it the right way. You're encouraging, you're positive, and you're helping these kids grow. And we actually had an entire team that we played against stay and watch our game and were cheering for us, so it was awesome. The second presentation that we have, Miss Brittany and some of our soccer crew can come up. So Brittany Schaffner is the soccer director of CUNA Powell. Her husband, Jason, is our security director. He does all of the background screening and also the IT stuff. Their boys there are also soccer participants in the back and get a play. But we'd like to make a special presentation to Councilwoman Brianna for her support. Again, we have not asked the city for money, but there are people within the city that keep the program going, and they support and pay for kids that can't pay for themselves. So she's been a huge supporter of CUNA Powell and has helped kids that can't afford to participate. So thank you. We appreciate it. And then just finally, thanks to the community. We're 100% volunteer organization. The only people that get paid are the youth referees for their time. So everybody that does this is literally doing it on their own time, their own dime, and so it doesn't happen without great community. But thanks again. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cody.
Thank you, guys.
I'd also like to add in there, too, our parks director, Bobby Withrow, has really put a lot of time and effort into this, and as we start looking at what we can possibly do with park impact fees, I know Bobby's working very diligently on working on getting some new fields and some things like that so that this can expand as it needs to and we can keep this ball rolling, so appreciate that. And also Chief McDaniels. Chief McDaniels always sits there like he can't hear me, but he's... He is a huge supporter in not only that, but the entire community. So we thank you, Chief, also. All right. So maybe we've got several public hearings here. So I don't know how long the scouts are going to want to hang out, but I just want to make sure we acknowledge the scouts. And so if you would like to give us your troop name and tell us what you're doing here and make sure that we acknowledge you here. Very nice.
I'm sorry, what troop was that? 808.
Very nice. Well, thank you for coming, and we certainly appreciate your presence here. And if you ever do have any other questions, you know, feel free to let us know. And we do have a monthly thing now where scout troops and youth of all sorts can come in and have a scheduled meeting with me so that you can ask whatever questions you'd like. So anytime you want to participate in that, you certainly are welcome to. So thank you again for being here. Next item is a public hearing. Actually, this one, the staff requests this item be tabled into the public hearing scheduled for November 8th, 2017. This is a public hearing in consideration to approve a 17-07 ZC rezone. The request for it to be tabled was not because of our staff, but some issues that the applicant had had. So.
Okay. I move we table public hearing in consideration to approve 17-07-ZC to the meeting on November 8th.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Next is item B, public hearing in consideration to approve 17-04-AN annexation. Jace Hellman.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. For the record, Jace Hellman, Planner 1, City of CUNA, 751 West 4th Street. The application before you tonight is for the annexation of approximately 6.82 acres into the city. The site's located at 882 East Hubbard Road, which is directly east of the Patagonia subdivision. The parcel is contiguous or has its touches along the northern and western boundaries within the county, and it's zoned rural residential currently. When parcels are annexed into the city, the applicant must choose what city zoning destination they would like. The council or the county zoning designations don't necessarily match with ours. Originally, applicant requested an R8 medium density zoning designation, but after further discussion with the commission, it was recommended that the property be zoned R6 to match some of the surrounding areas, and the applicant agreed. Future land use map identifies the site as mixed-use general, which allows for a variety of development, but within the mixed-use general area, we expect residential densities ranging from 2 to 20 units per acre. Staff views this annexation request to be consistent with the comprehensive plan and approved future land use map. Staff would also like to point out that potable water and sanitary sewer are within 300 feet of the property, and applicant will be required to connect at the time of any future development. Staff determined that all advertising requirements for tonight's hearing have been met. The applicant has submitted all necessary documents required for annexation, and staff concludes that this annexation is in conformance with Title V of the CUNA City Code and the CUNA Comprehensive Plan and the future land use map. Staff is forwarding recommendation of approval, and I'll stand for any questions you guys might have.
Okay. Questions for Jace?
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Did we have a sign-up sheet for this particular matter? I have two here, but those are for different. Bob, we give you one job.
Except this one.
Thank you.
Yeah, and the next two are on there in order. So.
Thank you.
All right. No one has signed up to testify in this matter. Is there anybody who didn't get a chance to testify who wishes to? Okay, as a matter of procedure, we need to go ahead and open up the public hearing since it is a public hearing. So we will do that now. I'll ask one more time, is there anybody who wishes to testify who didn't get that chance? Okay, then we would accept a motion to close the public hearing.
I move we close the public hearing.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to close the public hearing in the matter of 17-04-AN, and the question is rightfully before council. Yes.
No, because R6 is less dense than R8, less impact.
Okay. Anything further?
Well, it looks to me like the request is in compliance with city code, as well as the comp plan. It's been our policy, basically, to grant annexation requests so long as it complies with our land use map, and there don't appear to be any issues with this one. So I move, hang on, I'm finding the right part here. I move we approve case number 17-04-AN, the annexation request, with the conditions of approval listed in the memo.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve 17-04-AN with the conditions of approval. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Item C, public hearing that was tabled from September 19th, 2017 and October 3rd, 2017. Consideration to approve 17-05-S preliminary plat for Spring Hill Residential Subdivision. Troy. Okay. AJ Lopez, is that correct?
Mr. Mayor, we'll have the applicant present first tonight.
Mr. Mayor, Council, my name is David Bailey. I'm with Bailey Engineering, representing Northeast Cuna Farms LLC. My office address is 4242 North Brookside Lane in Boise, 83714. And I'm standing up here for AJ, who's here, but told me she didn't like to speak to me. So we're here representing the Spring Hill subdivision, and the subdivision was originally approved for, I think, approximately 700 lots on 200-plus acres on the southeast corner of Linder and Lake Hazel in, I believe, 2007. I'm sorry, I don't have the exact dates. In 2007, originally. And then we all know what happened for a couple years after that, and the project was purchased by the current developer, Northeast Cuna Farms LLC. And the city had deemed that the preliminary plat was still active because of the LID and the sewer permits associated with that. So we looked to resurrect the project and get a design going and get something going on it. And in taking the project to the Ada County Highway District, they said, well, Cuna can continue the project, but we can't. And so we need you to do a new traffic study and update the preliminary plat associated with the new traffic conditions on that. So what they came up with is that their conditions for Lake Hazel had changed, and the original plat had two accesses onto Lake Hazel Road, in addition to Linder Road and K Street, which were on the project. And so they wouldn't allow either of those accesses onto Linder Road. We added an additional access onto Linder Road to make up for that, and an additional access onto K Street to make up for that, for those, so we had enough traffic into the subdivision to work on that. We added room on the northeast corner and the northwest corner, actually, for proposed roundabouts or future roundabouts at Linder and Lake Hazel and at K and Lake Hazel in the future. So there's some changes made within that area. In looking at Monet, which is a collector street that runs east-west within the project, there were two roundabouts within that, and ACHD would rather not have roundabouts on local streets anymore. Okay. And so those were removed from the thing, but the alignment of the street stayed the same. But it also does not connect into the east end of the project into K Street anymore. The Durant portion of property, the south end of the property, wasn't available for purchase with the project, so that was left out, and the density associated with that project was left out of what we're presenting to you tonight. And we reconfigured the internal lots to support those road changes, so make sure that we had the proper traffic circulation. We were careful to maintain the same lot count that we had previously, approximately the same lot sizes and all of the open space that we had previously, including where the roundabouts were, provided a rather large area. We didn't fill those in with lots. We made them into nice-looking intersections and left a significant amount of landscaping around the outside of those. So we're keeping the same amount of landscape with that. Along with that, there was some questions associated with K Street, the alignment of K Street, and a connection to Pear Blossom subdivision to the east. And the connection to Pear Blossom was never constructed when the project was built, although the right-of-way was reserved through there. And the neighbors in that area were not interested in seeing that connect to K Street, and they didn't want Monet to plug right in there, and they also wanted to make sure that they weren't involved in that. Highway District agreed with them, so we moved the location of the connections away from there. And we also are dedicating additional right-of-way along the Pear Blossom subdivision. So you notice K Street meanders a little bit on the east side of this now. So we did a couple things with that. Is we dedicated additional right-of-way So we'll build the entire both sides of K Street adjacent to the Pear Blossom subdivision, so that won't be a burden for them, and the Highway District will help us out with building that portion. To the north, we had one of the transmission line power poles where we moved the street around that, and then we just adjusted the buffers and the street through there so we can make a nice-looking street out of K Street and have that completed when the subdivision's done. And that's one of the city's priority mid-mile collectors that we're continuing through there. So I think we did a lot of good pieces with that end. Again, some reconfiguration of the lots to support that piece of it. So those are basically the changes on there. We've brought it to your P&Z and talked to them about it. We looked at your staff's conditions of approval and are in agreement with those. Right now we're under construction on phase one. You'll notice up on Linda Road there that's being constructed under the, because it didn't have significant changes that affected us working on this. So work is underway there. And there's a sewer lift station being constructed and pressure irrigation pump station, both city facilities that are being constructed with this project. So we think it's a great addition to your city here, a great location and some real nice size lots and great landscaping throughout this project. So with that, I'd stand for any questions and ask for your approval.
Okay. Questions for David?
Mayor, I had one question.
Yeah.
Please, somebody correct me if I'm wrong. Is this now north of the new proposed high school?
Mr. Mayor, Councilman Jones, yes. It's directly across Mason Creek.
Okay.
Just north of
Have you had any discussion with them as far as maybe what I'm wondering is if there's been some routing, bike routes or something like that for the kids to get to the school from your subdivision. Looking at some of the maps, it didn't look like there was any type of pathways or anything like that going to the south. Have you talked to them at all?
I'm not sure that anybody's talked to them about it. I know that's real new. In fact, that idea is new since we submitted the updates to this here. But I can tell you on the plan previously and now, there are not shown any connections across Mason Creek. So we would assume that access to the school site there would be on Linder Road, and that I don't know what the improvements will be on Linder Road. Of course, it's an arterial street and would be improved by the Highway District, based on traffic.
Yeah.
This project pays its impact fees to support that there, but I don't know what their plans are for widening the bridge at Linder Road. I assume that the city thought that there needed to be connections or the school there. Then we can talk to the school about that. Or you've been in contact with them some? Okay, great, great.
Okay. Further questions for David?
Thank you
very much. All right. This is a public hearing again. We do have one person who has signed up. Was there anybody else who wished to testify who didn't get a chance to sign in? Oh, Troy, do you want to? Sorry about that. I like to forget you, Troy, sometimes.
Ouch.
Wow. You had that.
Trying to hurt my one feeling.
You had that really big lunch today, and you didn't share.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Appreciate the opportunity to talk with the council and Mr. Mayor tonight, or the mayor tonight. Good evening, council members. Just for the record, my name is Troy B. Hunan, Planner 3, Funeral Planning and Zoning Department, 751 West 4th Street. The applications that you have before you tonight, 17-05S application, is a pre-plat modification for everything after phase one. Mr. Dave Vela did a very good job explaining the reasons behind the modification request, and so I'm really not going to dwell on any of that, so I'm going to skip the majority of my presentation. So, but I am... I do want to stand before you tonight to let you know that even though this meeting was delayed twice, all of the proper noticing procedures were followed. We did advertise in the paper. The applicant did overcome some site posting obstacles and challenges, but it did get taken care of, and we did send out notices to landowners within 350 feet of the project. which is 50 feet beyond the minimum. Staff does support the changes that ACHD has imposed on them for Lake Hazel connection and an additional ingress-egress along Linda Road. And just to underline and underscore what Dave Bailey was talking about with that connection from Linda Road to the Pear Blossom subdivision, they've actually made a great stride in trying to be a good neighbor and to be a good developer. Instead of connecting directly into Pear Blossom, that entrance is now moved 644 feet or more from where it was originally approved in 2007. That made a lot of the residents in Pear Blossom a little happier. There was a concern that they were encouraging traffic to go through their subdivision. Even though they are public streets, they're not private, it seemed like it was funneling traffic through their subdivision. However, through the applicant's work with ACHD and with his engineer, they've come up with a much better solution where it's more inviting to actually just take K up to Lake Hazel and over. It's better safety, it's better congestion, and again, it's being a better developer. Staff also supports the changes to the road network that were influenced because of the two entrances on Lake Hazel being removed. We find that it actually improves the emergency medical services scenario and also for just regular services for the neighborhood and for the convenience of the residents. We also find that these changes to the preliminary plat for phases 2 through, I think it's 13 or 14, that they're complementary to the comprehensive plan map, comprehensive goals of the city, and staff supports everything that they're proposing. The applicant is bringing all of the public utilities to the site. It is a 14-phase project, and it is dropping down from 724 lots down to 677 lots. And the total density for the project overall is only 3.31 dwelling units per acre. So that means, even though they have an R4, which is a 4-unit per acre, they're substantially under that dwelling unit threshold. They are proposing 39 common lots, which is astounding. They have proposed a 37.81 acres of open space and approximately 23 acres of trails for connectivity to and through the site. Just with a rough guess, staff estimates that there's more than a mile and a half worth of trails. And the applicant has also been in communication with Bobby Withrow, the Public Works Director. Bobby. That's an mouthful. Anyway, they
see how easy it is to forget people.
Well,
yeah. So there has been some discussion about donating some of those trails to the city in exchange for some of the park impact fees. It, like I said, it's an extensive network. They have also proposed an intense landscaping plan, which was approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission in early August of this year. And the reason why there's no pathways shown across the creek at this point in time is because this application was far enough along before the announcement and before the decision was made and the announcement was made that would be the location of the high school. However, the school has recently reiterated to staff that they would be interested in that, and I think you heard Tim say he's going to, during his rebuttal, he'll mention his discussions with them. Staff has worked diligently with the applicant. The applicant's given us everything we've asked for, and staff would forward a recommendation to you for its approval. Planning and zoning, they issued a recommendation for approval as well. So with that, I'd stand for any questions.
Okay. Questions for Troy? Yes.
In February 2008, 4 acres. Now we're looking at 208.58. What happened to the other 16 and a half acres?
Well, as David Bailey pointed out earlier, there is a small portion below the applicant's property that was actually not for sale, that was the owner at the time of the original 2007 approval. In addition to that, there's an additional property below the Durant property that was also part of it, so that this project actually stretched from Lake Hazel all the way down to Columbia. Those two parcels have, since that time, have sold to private ownership, and so that would be the minus.
Okay. Anything further for Troy? Thank you. Okay, as I had stated before, there was only one person that signed up to testify. Was there anybody else who wished to testify who did not get the chance to sign up? Okay. So we'll go ahead and open up the public hearing part. Wendy Hamlin. If you would just state your name and address for the record, please.
You bet. My name is Wendy Hamlin, and I live at 7640 South Linder Road. My mailing address is Meridian. I am actually in the city of Kuna. I actually noted a couple more things tonight that I was totally unaware of in this project. First, I want to be clear that in 2007, with this project, he says originated in 2007, there was no notice that we were ever seen, that was ever given, that any of this had been approved at any such point. I don't even remember getting any notification or seeing any notice posted for the original approval of this project. It's alarming to me that we have 3.31 houses, you may as well say four, going in on this property. Everybody around this property owns homes on at least an acre or more, and you're putting a subdivision in that's a very high density in comparison to that. The amount of traffic alone now with the approval of the school going in, my property, the backyard of my property will be high school parking lot. It's there. I have more tolerance for the school being approved and going in than I do a high-density residential. The amount of traffic that's going to happen on Linder is going to be phenomenal. It's already a danger zone. My family calls it birth control alley because if you have a pet, it won't be there very long. Nobody follows the speed. We've had very little, until recently, had very little help with the speeders down that road, and we're going to be adding 677 homes to that with a school involved with our young people. And the biggest amount of access to the school and to the subdivision is going to be Linder Road, 50 mile an hour speed zone. I don't know how this is going to go, and I'm saying I could see two houses per acre. That'd be great. Maybe that would be controllable, but 677 with a high school going in next door, I think, is just an insurmountable amount of terror. The other thing is, you've got people that have invested a tremendous amount of money in their estates that they have out there on pretty good-sized pieces of acreage. What is this subdivision and a high school going to do to our home values when it comes in? Because I didn't invest my life savings to take a reduction in my home value. And that's my concern. I'm probably fighting a losing battle, but that's what I've got to say. And I've had no notifications of anything, but I think I'm out farther than 300 feet from there.
Okay.
By inches maybe, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
Questions from council?
Thank you.
Thank you so much. You speak very well to the microphone. Thank you.
I didn't swear.
Appreciate that. Okay, that's all we had signed up to testify. Was there anybody else? Okay.
I move we close the public hearing.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion's made and second. I'm sorry, give a rebuttal here. Tim, if you would step up to the mic and state your name and address, please.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. My name is Tim Eck. I live at 6152 West Half Moon Lane in Eagle. I am the applicant. Just a reminder, a few points of fact. The Spring Hill subdivision was approved in 2007. This is an application for a modification to an existing approval. We're already well underway in construction in phase one. As this approval, this modification does not have significant impact on phase one, it wasn't necessary. But moving forward, as mentioned, we're bending over backwards to get in total compliance with every request that the highway district had. One thing they did require was a new traffic impact study, which has been complete. All conditions of the traffic impact study are being complied with. All traffic measures as they require are will be followed. Troy mentioned that our density is 3.31 per acre, but our zoning is R6, not R4. So our medium density residential allows 4 to 8 units per acre, and we're doing 3.31 in R6. We really worked diligently with this to maintain all the open space, the pathways, the connectivity. I had a lot of interaction with the school board when they were looking for the high school sites. They had picked a few sites that had extremely bad access. The site they ended up with does give them frontage on Columbia and Linder, which are both, you know, very high volume roads versus being on Hubbard down by Indian Creek. We do plan to work with them. I think you were asking about connectivity across the canal. Putting a bridge across an irrigation district canal is like pulling wisdom teeth without Novocaine. Can be done, but it's not easy. But we're more than glad to work with them. We're very much in favor of supporting the pathway system and the non-motorized vehicle connectivity through the city and to the new high school. We'd be thrilled if they, we'll let them take the lead with the irrigation district, but we do have pathways that follow the Mason Creek all the way through the project, and if we can do some bridges across it to give the kids connectivity right to the high school, that'd be great. And that's where their ball fields tend to be. We'll be right against our very large green belt that we have. Is it 37 acres of open space? We have a lot of open space in here. It's a very green plat. So I stand for any questions.
Okay. Questions for Tim.
Mayor, question. Tim, do you know why did they remove the access from Lake Hazel?
Because the future plan for the anticipated design of Lake Hazel, they want to limit access on Lake Hazel to half-mile intervals. So we will have an access at K, which is the half-mile. They anticipate that Lake Hazel, you know, in several years will be, you know, 5 lanes and a very high-speed through corridor. And they want to limit the ingress-egress on Lake Hazel that will slow it down. We have actually talked to the Highway District about allowing us to put a parking lot off of Lake Hazel onto the greenbelt that will come in under the power lines. And they've given us a positive consideration, because we'd like to, if we can make this public, we'd like to, you know, put some public use amenities in there, but we'll need parking. And as long as the parking does not access the subdivision, and strictly for parking, then the Highway District said they would support it. That's ongoing. But you'll see that all the way down Lake Hazel. Our Caspian plat, which stretches from 10 Mile to Linder, was access there was cut back quite a bit.
Thank you.
Okay, further questions?
No, thank you.
Thank you, Tim, very much. All right, now we have a motion to close the public hearing.
Yes.
And the second still stand?
Yes.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. And the question is up for debate for council.
Mayor, I mean, this is a modification of something that was already been approved. I believe it still meets all of our goals of our comp plan. It still provides the rights to the landowner to do what they wish with their land. Being that all the city codes have been followed and Highway District and those that have responded in the positive. I don't have any, I have some personal concerns, but as far as the meeting all of our requirements, I think those have been met, and being if it's some modification or something that was already pre-approved. So I will either could make that a motion if other council members have nothing to add, or
go for it.
The only thing I've got to add is I'm glad to see it come from a 3.46 down to a 3.31. Less units on the paper and the press before the change.
Back to the game.
Okay.
Well, Mayor, with that, then, based on my previous comment, meeting our comp plan, following our city code, the approvals from the responding districts, I move that we approve 1705-S preliminary plat for Spring Hill Subdivision.
I'll second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve 17-05-S preliminary plat for Spring Hill Residential Subdivision. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Item D, public hearing and consideration to approve 17-02-AN annexation and 17-06-S preliminary for Cazador subdivision. Kirstie going to present? Kirstie.
I'm actually Kevin. So.
What?
Kevin. I thought maybe I said it wrong.
My name is Kevin McCarthy, KM Engineering. Address is 9233 West State Street in Boise. Here tonight for Cazador Subdivision, annexation, zoning, and preliminary plat. Just a little brief information on the site. The property is approximately 40.2 acres of agricultural ground. It's located at the southeast corner of West Ardale and North 10 Mile Roads. The property is currently zoned RUT with a comprehensive plan designation of medium density residential. We're requesting to annex it into the city with a zoning designation of R6 and subdivide it into single family residential lots. The preliminary plat that we have proposed has 164 buildable single-family residential lots, 18 common lots, and one shared driveway. Layout reflects a density of just over 4 units per acre, but which is below the density allowed in the R6 zone. The project also includes a little over four and a half acres of open space with walking paths that provide pedestrian connectivity throughout the neighborhood. As far as the access into the site, we're tying into two neighboring stub streets in the neighboring property. The subdivision will also have two accesses out to Ardell Road and a single connection out to out to 10 Mile. And ACHD, obviously, in their staff report approved our plan. We have no issues with the staff report and would ask for approval tonight as recommended by the Planning and Zoning Commission. With that, I'll stand for any questions.
Okay, questions for Kevin.
Mayor, just one question. Sort of the Ardell, is that a midpoint, or is that a full cross with, you know, or Troy or anybody know if that's
It's a half-mile road.
Is it half?
Yeah.
But, I mean, it, no, as far as the width of Ardell itself, is it a finish or is it just from center on your side of center line?
So when we go to do that, we'll have to we're tying into, I think, a full build-out, but we'll be doing at least one half plus one lane. Are you guys familiar with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's what we'd be required to build the other side because we can't develop the other side yet.
Okay. Further questions?
That was my only question, too.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Troy.
Part two tonight. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Council members, just for the record, Troy Buchanan, Line 3, County Planning and Zoning Department. So the applications before you tonight, 17-02-AN annexation and 17-06-S preplat for the Cazador subdivision is presented for your vote for approval, conditional approval, or denial of the annexation and the preplat and or the preplat. The applications have been assembled for your packets for tonight's hearing. And all of the notice and procedures that are typical with these public hearings have been followed. And the application, or the applicant seeks annexation, like Kevin mentioned, of approximately 40.2 acres into the city limits. It qualifies as a candidate for annexation because it touches the city limits on three sides of the property. And the R6 request is it matches the comprehensive plan map, which is a medium density residential, and the medium density residential, just for your refresher, is anything from 4 units all the way up to 8 units per acre. They're squarely in the middle with actually an R6 designation request. However, they're just over 4 units per acre, so they're significantly under what they're requesting. The preliminary plat, it does include up to 164 buildable lots with 18 common lots with one shared driveway. And just to touch base, it does also request the ability to have a temporary access, which at some point will become a buildable lot. The applicant is going to start with phase one in the southern part of the project and work north towards Ardell Road in order to maintain the fire access and other EMS supporting services. There has to be 2 points of ingress and egress, and you'll notice that on the west side of the preliminary plat, there is a note there. It talks about a temporary access onto 10 Mile Road, but again, it's just for a temporary period of time. As soon as the Ardell Road gets constructed and is approved by Ada County Highway District and accepted, then that would be removed and it would turn into a buildable home lot for a homeowner. Staff has worked with the applicant for the shared driveway. While we don't necessarily encourage shared driveways, we also don't have any concerns over this because of the amount of attention that the applicant has given unto it. It will be part of an HOA maintained lot, so there really shouldn't be any concerns about its perpetual care and maintenance. In addition to that, it also provides a pathway for the residents to access the trail that's along the creek. So it's really a multi-purpose shared driveway sort of access thing for non-motorized vehicles. There will be 18 common lots that will total approximately 4.64 open acres of open space for connectivity to and through throughout the project. Staff has worked hard with the applicant on this project as well to get it before you tonight. They've once again have submitted everything we've asked them to. They've worked with the neighbors as far as a developer can. They've worked with staff. They've worked with ACHD. And their committed to bringing another quality project here to the city. The Planning and Zoning Commission also heard this earlier this year, and they forwarded a recommendation of approval to you folks as well, and staff would stand for any questions that you might have.
Okay, questions for Troy.
Mayor, does anybody know when Ardell will be completed?
That's completely development driven. However, this project and the one above it, they're competing. There's another one coming shortly, but this one's the first one in. But it, like I said, it's starting from the south. So, development requires that they build more houses, then Ardell will get built faster. But the important thing about this Ardell segment, although it is relatively short, it's very critical because it connects two existing segments and provides a necessary loop for some of the residents back in those subdivisions.
Mayor, which just brings up my concern, unfortunately, not having anybody from ACHD to answer this. I know is there somebody here? Oh, thank you. I know there's been concerns expressed from residents regarding the other subdivisions that there is a hill right there that people tend to go over that, and it's hard to see from the people on the north side. So I'm just curious as far as how is that going to be alleviated, the concerns of people not coming out of that northern subdivisions, of people going over the hill without any type of traffic control beforehand. I don't know if anybody would be willing to answer that question for me.
I know that staff was also concerned about that, but the temporary access on 10 Mile Road that's being proposed is, I forget exactly what the distance is, but it's a significant distance south of Ardell existing.
Yeah.
And Ardell existing is actually several hundred feet south of that hill. The hill you're referring to is the Galliano Estates, or the Walnut Creek subdivision. And the permanent access will be at the Ardell intersection. So, but staff was also concerned about that. But the applicant addressed all of our concerns. So I'll let ACHD.
Yeah, if you want to go ahead and step up to the mic.
All right. David Corcoran, transportation planner for ACHD. What I can say is that it beats our standards as we have them documented. That being said, with that noted concern, I will take it back to our traffic engineers to have them take another look at it and see if we need to be looking at something else to make sure that safety hazard is not in place.
And I, just to add to that, I do know that there's others that avoid coming out even onto Linder and using School Street to access onto Deer Flat, so I'm concerned about everybody coming out of the subdivision over there to go that way too. So I just hope they consider that it's already being done, and to put more over there, you're just going to see more coming down off of school. So.
Absolutely. I will take that back to our traffic engineers and have them take a look at it, but I can't offer a definitive answer one way or another here.
Yeah. You guys are the experts. So I'll let you figure that out, but there are concerns. Just want to make sure they're addressed and noted. So thank you.
It feels like taking a left off of Ardell to go south on 10 Mile is probably the diciest thing right there, just because of people coming up over that hill and not having very much time to slow down if there's a car that's just turned out. Does that make sense? I think that, so maybe that's a solution, just not allowing lefts onto 10 Mile, maybe. But I'm less concerned about turning right into the subdivision or turning right out of the subdivision. Those don't seem like real issues.
Absolutely. So we will take a look at that. I think I've heard that concern from a resident as well. So we'll definitely be following up on that to see what we need to do. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any further questions for Troy?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. This is a public hearing. I had one person signed up to testify. Was there anybody else who wished to testify who didn't get a chance to sign up? Okay. Seeing none, we'll go ahead and open up the public hearing portion. Julie? Hi. I'm going to let you pronounce your last name so I don't butcher it.
My name is Julie Okamika, and my husband and I, my husband is Bill Cunnington. We live at 1113 West Oak Tree Drive in CUNA. Ardell Road is the south side of our, the boundary, I should say, of our 10 acres. And so we have met with Troy, and we have met with Tim Heck. They've been very, very helpful. Our concern is that with the subdivision going east to on Ardell, going east towards the property of Linda Road, and continuing west onto 10 Mile, wherever it may access above that Walnut Creek Hill, I should say. Our concern is that we're the people there that have the south boundary, and which is a one-lane road, you know, and we're trying to be open and amenable, and we have had no conflicts whatsoever. I don't want to imply that, but we're concerned that, you know, that's kind of a dangerous area. Somebody that's coming in from the east going west has to stop and wait to see if there's traffic there, and then the same way from the west to the east. So we are working with that, and we are concerned about the timing of that. We have our irrigation pump that needs to be moved. Tim Eck has been more than gracious in understanding everything. I believe B&A engineers are working on this, but we haven't heard just yet. So my concern is that the approval of the subdivisions on either end of it are wonderful. There's no issues there. But there's a lot of traffic in that one little road and that one lane, and I just would like to know that that would be addressed down the road, you know. So if anybody has any questions, just let us know.
Okay. Is there any questions at this time? Sounds like traffic is the major concern of all of this. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. It's lovely. It just hits all at once, you know.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that's all I have signed up to testify. Did you want to make any comments, Tim?
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. Again, I'm Tim Eck, 6152 West Half Moon Lane, Eagle, Idaho. I am the applicant. Hopefully addressing the Cunnington's concerns, we have worked diligently with ACHD. Ardell was built under an old policy when they would retain the center line of the road on the section line and allow the road to be built in 50% sections versus one half plus one lane. There's a short section adjacent to Walnut Creek that's built half. Then between Walnut Creek and Mineral Springs, it's built full. And then adjacent to Mineral Springs, it's built half. Mm-hmm. Right now, when you reach Arbor Ridge, it's built full width all the way to Ardell. It will be extended in the near future through consecutive phases of Ardell Estates to Linder as a full width mid-mile collector. Normally, the development that will occur that will finish these improvements is done by the landowner when they develop. Knowing that this was a bad policy that existed years ago, allowing roads to be built like that, ACHD has made a generous offer to buy the right-of-way and construct the other half of the road in front of the Cunnington's property. We have hired B&A Engineering. ACHD is actually paying their bill to design the roads, to design that section of road, to design the improvements necessary to move their irrigation facilities. When Arbor Ridge Phase 5 gets constructed, which is anticipated for next year, it will finish another section of Ardell to full width, and it's directly east of the Cummings property. With that process, we will improve Ardell in front of the Cunnington's property for ACHD. They'll pay us to do the work, and that section will be completed. We've had good conversations with the Cunningtons. ACHD has offered, I believe, a very fair price. I believe they thought it was fair. They're not aware of this. I was out of town last week, And while I was gone, I did get the first draft of the purchase and sale agreement from the Highway District. As soon as I get it reviewed, I will forward it to the Cunningham's and their attorneys. This will be just the purchase part. Once that is acceptable, then there will be another agreement, I'm assuming, between ACHD and us for the improvements that we will put in to finish Ardell. So that will bring Ardell full width to the edge of Mineral Springs. With the first phase of Cazador, we will create a touch to Ardell that will finish Ardell to the Teed Lateral. I know you live out there, so we've got that last section. This will also include the crossing of the Teed Lateral. We're required to build the road frontage as it is contiguous to our project per phase. So as we move from south to north, and we have to start at the south because that's where the sewer's at, we will eventually get to Ardell and Ardell will be constructed. The mound of the on 10 Mile they're talking about is where the T lateral crosses 10 Mile, and it's a fairly significant distance north of Ardell. Our temporary street is like another 600 feet south of that. We've done the traffic impact studies. They've gone out, they've surveyed it, they've analyzed it. There's no mitigation, no mitigation required for the rise in the road. People are going to drive 70 and a 50 mile an hour speed limit. You're going to get problems. But in addition, Ardell and 10 Mile is slated to have a roundabout. Our plat is being modified to provide the additional right-of-way dedication to the Highway District for the roundabout. Once that roundabout goes in, it will completely reconfigure the traffic patterns there. But we have done a traffic impact study. All the traffic requirements to that study and as required by ACHD will obviously be complied with. And I stand for any questions.
Okay, questions.
Mr. Rick, do you know when 10 Mile will be a four-lane road?
I really don't. I mean,
five-lane.
You know, I've worked diligently with the city about trying to get more involved with the, you know, the Compass Building and the Highway District. It was higher on the priority list before the recession. Subsequent to that, it kind of fell off the priority list. But they are well aware of what's going on out here, the growth that's happening. I mean, there's a lot of traffic measures that we have to do. As you see in Caspian, we have to build a two-lane roundabout at 10 Mile and Amity. When Ardell is connected to 10 Mile, a southbound left turn lane will be required at Ardell. So that will help mitigate your concerns, because once Ardell occurs, a little closer to the bridge, there will be a southbound left turn lane, which will then give that left turn traffic coming out of Ardell, you know, kind of a wider center aisle to pull into.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you one more question.
Yes.
When these subdivisions go in, is Ada County anticipating a five lane coming down 10 Mile upon your developments? Are they leaving enough space for a five lane now that they've got the freeway at 10 Mile there? I thought that was going to be a four lane, perhaps going in five. Is Ada County requiring enough space there that they can put in a five-lane highway down 10 Mile?
Yes. Yeah, they're requiring a pretty extensive amount of right-of-way, is it?
96 feet? Not wake them
up. Huh? 96 feet. No. I think it's 96 feet total right-of-way, so it'll accommodate that.
Okay, so there'll be ample space for in the future growth.
Yeah. Okay. And in addition, the roundabouts that will be going in.
Yeah, 10 Mile will be about 10 roundabouts.
Miles.
At the river.
10 miles an hour.
Thank you, Mr. Rick.
You're welcome.
Okay, anything further for Tim?
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that's all we have. Motion to...
I move we close public hearing.
Second.
Motion to amend the second to close the public hearing. in the matter of 17-02AN and 17-06S. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. The question is rightfully before council.
Mayor, with the meeting of numerous comprehensive plan goals following state and city codes, with the approval from the responding agencies, I move that we approve 1702 annexation, 1706. 1706-S preliminary plat with staff's recommendations outlined in the staff report.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve 17-02AN and 17-06S. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries. Next item is a public hearing on the progress of downtown revitalization for CDBG-funded activities. Lisa Bachman.
Hello, Mayor and Council. I'd like to ask for some more funding tonight.
No.
Just kidding. Joking. Anyway, thank you for having me. Lisa Bachman with JUB Engineers, 250 South Beachwood. Boise, Idaho, 83709. And as stated in your memo in your packet, this public hearing is required because it is a community development block grant project. HUD requires that mid-construction. So if you recall, we had a public hearing before we submitted the application to the Idaho Department of Commerce. And then once you receive funding mid-construction, you're supposed to have a public hearing. So that's why we're here tonight. And I'm going to be going over the project activities and the CDBG budget. And we also have Mike Cole from Knife River Construction to answer any technical questions you have or anything related specific to construction. To date, as you have seen, the north side of Main Street is pretty much complete. Crews are now focusing attention on the south side of Main Street. Business owners and tenants have been really good to work with, and their patience has been very much appreciative. They have been more than patient, and you know, even with all the disruptive activity going on with construction, with parking, and that sort of thing. We've heard things from some of the business owners, but usually, you know, once city staff goes out and the contractor talks with the different business owners, they're good to work with, including Mr. Cardoza. Thank you. I just wanted to bring that point up.
For me, more than patient means asleep.
Yeah, there you go. So the good news is that the final outcome of the construction is actually reflective of the input that we've received through the downtown revitalization planning process, so I'm happy to see that coming to reality. And construction is expected to be complete November of 2017. As far as the CDBG budget goes, the total grant amount was $500,000 and has remained on track. The most recent request for funds will exhaust about 95% of the construction money tied to the CDBG grant dollars. And we'll be able to collect that remaining 5% upon construction being completed. And so the table on page 2 of your memo is reflective of just the different amounts that we've funneled through the Idaho Department of Commerce to date. The column on the left has the amounts of the initial grant approval for the different line items, and as you can follow across to the right, you'll just see that, you know, we've been requesting the money, and the money has been dispersed in a prompt manner, which is very good. Commerce doesn't want to have their money sitting in an account for a while before it's dispersed. The city's been really good to work with, John and Chris, and getting those funneled through so we don't have any issues that way. right now, you'll see that we've requested a total of $240,803 of the total project, with $259,197 remaining. And so, like I said, this budget that you see in this report is only reflective of the CDBG dollars, not the overall construction. There's other grant sources involved, and I believe Chris is going to touch on that in the next item on the agenda. The other federal aid grant dollars from ITD equals $542,417, as well as local funding from ACHD in the amount of $200,000. That's all being tracked separately, and I've been coordinating that closely with the city. So with that, I will stand for any questions that you have.
Okay. Questions for Lisa?
I was impressed that she asked for more money.
So I can start off and put it out there.
I think it looks good. I'm very impressed with the workmanship, especially. But since my office is downtown, Knife River is been excellent. They've kept the dust down. Their people have not been loud or boisterous. I think they've been a very good match for the development campaign. Very impressive. When they fixed my sidewalk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you have any complaints, Mike's here. Said, tell them we can put them on the spot.
Mayor, I was just disappointed there's no blasting. I was hoping for some.
Oh, goodness gracious. Please don't wish for that.
I'm not going with there.
It's not like they didn't think about it.
Yeah, I have to admit, they taped my windows because they're single pane, and it took me about 4.5 hours to get the tape off.
I will come back and done that.
Yeah, now that it's done.
Well, now it's at your own risk that you took the tape off.
I think they used super glue to cut it on the window. I swear to God. Anyway, I'm very impressed with Mike River and the quality of work they did down there.
Very good. Does anybody have anything? Mike, do you want to comment, or you want to? Okay.
Don't be shy.
Yeah. Since it doesn't look like council's in a yelling mood, you should be okay.
Yeah. If you're yelling, I'd run. Mike Cole, I work for Knife River. Home address is 392 East Jamestown Court in lovely Keene, Idaho. Just want to reiterate what Lisa said about the cooperation of the business owners downtown. It is, it's not an easy project, obviously. I mean, right up to these people's doorways, very, very disruptive. There's no doubt that it was loud when we hit the rock. And you know, stopping their customers from getting there, quite frankly. And they've just been super great to work with. Staff has been Johnny on the spot, helping us all the way through the project. I couldn't say enough good things about the people that you guys have hired to run your city. I'm glad to know that they're there for me as a citizen, and they've just been super good to work with. JUB's also been really good. You've picked a really good owner there. To your point, I just wanted to address that. Where we came out to the sidewalks and we had the little fill-in strips, my subcontractor, the owner, he's a one-guy show. He does very good work, but he sent two guys out to do that work, and when I saw it, I realized that that's not what we're trying to get. His butt's a little red after the phone call, and he was embarrassed, and as we get back, we will make that right and make sure everybody's happy with that. The other thing I was going to touch on briefly is I brought my schedule. The original pave date that I showed when we first started this was right towards the end of October. October 29th was the original pave date. That's anticipating hitting no lava rock in the storm drain per the bid specs. They said they didn't think they'd find any. Obviously, Mr. Cardoso knows very well we found quite a bit. Took us 2 extra weeks on the north side and an extra week on the south side. We've compressed our schedule. I still plan to get that paved around the 30th to get it paved back. The landscaping will go a little longer, but will definitely be done by the November 10th deadline. So, super great to have the work. It's been a real positive experience for Knife River.
me personally, I love working in my hometown, so go put out some more. We'd love to come do some more work for you. And I'll stand for questions.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate it very much. I know how hard you've been working on this. So it's
the challenges.
I've noticed for sure. So
I hate to say it, but I think they went looking for rock down there. I think they brought holes in the sand and planted them during the night.
Yeah, pretty sure that's what happened.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much. I have other people listed here. Does anybody else want to comment some more? We'll open this as a public hearing. And okay.
The only thing else I'd like to say is just from my standpoint, I'd just also like to thank Knife River for how great and responsive they've been on the project. Anytime I've been down there pestering, and he's only called me a finished carpenter once. So anytime I've been down there nitpicking him, he's been very good to work with, and I'm excited about getting this thing wrapped up.
Okay, very good. So this is a public hearing. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to comment or testify? Or
it's okay. Only you, Warren.
Come on, Warren, get after it. All right, very good. Thanks, Mike. All right, so if you could have a motion to close the public hearing.
I move we close the public hearing.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to close the public hearing. Any further discussion?
Mayor, I guess we would be negligent if we didn't thank JUB also for the good job they've done. So.
Indeed.
Thank you.
Yes, and they are always here. That's one thing about them is they don't go away. Even if we're not making them work, they're still here. And we do appreciate that very much. It doesn't go unnoticed. Anything further? All those in favor of closing public hearing, say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Was that all we needed on that? We didn't need any decision or anything, obviously. So, all right. Thank you very much, Lisa. Item 7A, consideration to reallocate available funds from city contribution from downtown revitalization phase 1 to the design and engineering for phase 2A and phase 2B. Chris Ingalls, city clerk, and Bob Bachman, public works director.
Thank you, Mayor. So I am asking for money, but more reallocation. So in the memo, I reviewed what we have done in phase one, which is Avenue E, and then Main Street to Avenue C. We were before you in July, and because we had our bid and bid alternate one exceed engineer's estimate by $314,000 and some change. Council approved the increase in general funds and public works funds to be used for the project components. After council, as we had talked about in July, that I had put in for some additional funding from Compass for the grant as well, but did not at that time have confirmation, and it didn't look possible. It didn't look like we were going to get that funding. Once I notified them that council did indeed allocate $279,000, when it went for review in front of the various committees and boards, they were so impressed by, you know, the council's dedication to the project that they went ahead and approved $300,000+ more for the downtown project, which then made it that we didn't need the $279,000 that council allocated in July. With that being said, with the approximate $300,000 from the TAP TMA funds, and that loosens up the $279,000, we continue to look at the funding opportunities going forward to phase two. As I had indicated in July, any funds that we didn't use from the contingency that council had allocated, that would go back to city coffers, and that is the intent unless you wish to reallocate. So what we've brought for consideration for phase two is that we would divide phase two into a phase 2A and a phase 2B. And the reason for that is that there's an opportunity for funding which would need to be submitted within the next couple months, but it's for shovel-ready projects only, meaning that they're designed, they're engineered, they're estimated, there's an estimate on it. But because of the time frame, that is why we would look at Section A, which would go from Avenue C to Avenue B, and then we have funds already to work from Avenue B to Avenue A. We have $300,000 for that, but those funds don't come to us until fiscal year 19. So with that being said, if council was inclined to reallocate the $279,000 that is not needed in phase one from what they allocated in July to phase two, we would be able to then assemble the design and engineering for phase 2A and then a second packet for phase B, or
phase 2B.
And then that would enable us to pursue the funding opportunity that's available in the next couple months to fund A, and then we're still in line to work towards funding for B. With that being said, if council does reallocate the $279,000 from phase A, or from phase one, from instead of going back into contingency, that rolls it over to begin into phase two, we always are pursuing funding, and if we are able to procure any funding, we then would leverage that against what council had put forth and return anything back to the city coffers that we could. With that, I think I covered everything, and just wanted to reiterate that with the additional funds that we received through the federal dollars, that brings us to $514,417 for phase one from them, plus we have an additional $300,000 pending from them for phase 2B. With that, I stand for questions.
I have a couple.
Yes.
So can you clarify for me, has phase 2, when it was just phase 2, already gone for engineering and, like, design and stuff? So are we redoing that and splitting it into two, or has it not gone forward yet at all?
It's not gone forward.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, that was my main question. I shouldn't want to double spend money. So.
Yes.
So when did she lose you there? Was it on phase 1, 2, or 2B, or 2A?
Well, you're in phase 1, so phase 2A and 2B.
Yeah, and that, you know, and I think that's one thing I'd like to point out, that this whole project, with the number of funding sources that we've had and the different ways that we've had to present to different boards and the number of people we've had involved with that, this thing is so complicated. I don't even know that I could even tell you what I talked about at the first meeting I went to on this thing, because just the way it's laid out. And I was very pleased that when and I think everybody on those boards, they look at the fact that the city of CUNA is dedicated to this project and getting it done. So when we actually said we'd pay for it, they're like, well, no, that's okay, I got it. It's like somebody else buying lunch or something. So just the fact that we are showing that we're supportive is big in their eyes. And then the other point to that is the being shovel ready. The money that we were able to get through Compass, and we were competing against other cities and entities that didn't want us to have that money. They wanted that money, but we were the only ones that were shovel ready, and that's the reason we ended up getting $500,000 from that. So I think just allowing some flexibility to staff here to be able to make some commitments and move forward will actually pay dividends and work out well for us in the end. So that's kind of where we're at here today, and It seems like we have this big pile of money, but we can only use this little pile for something, and then we got to move it over for something else, and then it's a shuffling game. And so far, I think staff's done a wonderful job of making that happen, and JUB and everybody. So
certainly, it's been a big team project. I mean, we have well, pretty much every department in the city is involved in some meeting or another, or chasing after something. And JUB has been super responsive, and Compass, we work with them closely. ITD, it's ACHD, it's just. And I was on the phone with one of the agency representatives the other day, and it's not the first time they've reminded me of this, is that the other cities, and not just the small cities, but the larger cities, they are watching to see how we do with assembling all these different funding sources and all these different agencies and and bringing it to fruition. They're interested, and I'm not sure if council really understands. The complexity is very outstanding, so much so that not everybody was confident that we would be successful in blending so many different funding sources, and we have been. And it's actually setting a template for how other cities and agencies will work through projects going forward. So we do have an outstanding project for sure.
Mayor, if I may for a minute.
Yes.
So just for a clarification, Chris, the money we spent for designing of 2A and 2B.
That's correct.
We're not seeking any additional money out of any additional contingency money that we haven't already approved, and that we're just moving it over to a different area to allow this to happen for grants that we probably would not have otherwise even received if we didn't do it this way. So, I mean, I guess from what I'm looking at from you is just just making sure I'm understanding it correctly, that that's what we're doing. And
that's correct.
Okay. I'll throw one at you, though.
All right.
Are you anticipating any additional design changes after we do the design review for 2A? And 2B. So what I'm curious is that some of the additional design changes that we did for phase one will be implemented in phase 2A and 2B now, so that we won't have to add bulb outs later. That
correct. The when we met with the downtown design committee, that was one of the strongest points, was they wanted it consistent when we knew that we were going to have to break it up into phases. They didn't want green in phase one and then phase two to be purple. So it will reflect what's happened in phase one. We're not going to do any substantial changes.
And then one last thing. Are my bulb outs going to match Avenue C or Avenue D?
He left, so Bob, do you know which ones? So he thinks they look all different.
Councilman Jones, on the road side, they should all be the same.
On Main Street side?
On the back side, they are not the same, because as do with private property boundary lines. But when you sight down Main Street, they should all align or close to it.
So my assumption, I guess, is that they A and B should match C.
Yes.
Okay.
There is a yes, they should match.
It feels like you're walking into a trap, doesn't it?
Yes.
I've already discussed it with them. I think they all look different.
There is a slight alignment on the sidewalk the further you go east that changes, but I was trying to think if that would affect the bulb out or not. I don't believe it would.
Well, I'll just share my take on this. Is basically we had already had extensive discussion when we agreed to fund the $279,000 a couple weeks ago. I think we all agreed that this is an important project, and it's one that the community involvement was literally exemplary. I mean, recognized at a national level. And so if we already thought spending $279,000 of city funds on downtown revitalization was necessary and important, I don't see any reason why we would claw back that money now and not continue to make it available, particularly if it means the overall cost of the project for the city could be lower in the long run. So with that, I would, unless people have more stuff to say, I would move that we approve the request to reallocate the $279,000, which had previously been approved by council for phase one, to be used in phase two, specifically, I guess, the design and engineering of phase 2A and 2B, and anything else that's necessary.
Second.
The motion is made and seconded to reallocate those funds. Is there any further discussion? Yes.
I'm a little confused. We gave $279,000 out of the contingency fund, but you've received $300,000. There's a difference between $21,000. So do we get that $300,000?
No, sir. those funds will be used on the project, phase one. If we have funds at the end, if we have federal funds at the end that we didn't use, we would actually return those to the funding source. We wouldn't take those as funds for the city. They are for the project only.
So in other words, we might get a grant for $300,000, but the need was for $279,000. So unless there's some additional need there, then we would get $279,000 or whatever the number was.
But we may need to use it because they did run into some lava rock. There's been some issues that have come up, though. Bob's been diligent, as has Knife River, to try and stay within budget. But we would return anything. Because 279 was city money, 300 is federal funds.
Okay. Anything further? We have a motion and a second to approve. Chris, would you poll the council?
Council President Cardoza?
Yes.
Council Member Jones?
Yes.
Council Member Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Council Member McPherson?
Yes.
That motion carries. Thank you very much. Business item 7B, preliminary financial results for fiscal year ending September 30th, 2017. John Marsh, City Treasurer.
Hey, good evening, Mayor, City Council. For the record, John Marsh. I just wanted to give you a real quick update on the fiscal year that just ended September 30th. The year is still in the process of being closed, but we're mostly there. So it's a good time to give you an indicator of where you stand, where you finished. And so I'll cover just the major funds, the general, the water, the sewer, and the irrigation, and keep it real brief and open it up to any questions you may have. So the first thing I want to cover is where the city ended with cash, its cash position, $13.9 million. Very, very good number, the highest number, it's a record number for CUNA. Moving on to the operating side, the general fund, the first number I want to point out is your actual operating results, and that's your operating revenues minus your actual operating expenditures. And so far, that's sitting at a positive of $217,000. So it's very good. Those numbers will change slightly as we progress through the year-end close, but I don't expect them to change materially. The cash balance in the general fund is $1.8 million. And during the course of the budgeting process, we forecasted that year-end reserves would be $1.4 million. At present, I'm projecting they're going to end at $1.5 or just under $1.6, so very positive. Moving on to the water fund, in similar fashion, the water fund finished on an operating standpoint, revenues versus expenditures, just over $1 million ahead. And in the these enterprise funds, the water, sewer, and irrigation will change a little more materially as we go through, as we finalize some of these larger capital projects and get some of those accruals in. But that's still very good. Many of the capital projects came in well under budget or still in progress. So we still have some work to go there. The cash balance in the water fund is just over $4 million, and that includes $252,000 windfall, if you will, from the whale mitigation fund that we transferred in there. We projected that during forecasting or during budgeting that your year-end reserves would be $2.8 million, and they're looking that they're going to be 3.9. So, again, very good. And then moving on to the sewer fund, the operating results, about $544,000 ahead of expenditures, so revenues better than expenditures, very good. Cash balance, $3.7 million. We projected at budgeting to have reserves of just under $3 million. Right now it looks like we'll be just under $3.6 million. So, again, these will change a little bit as we finalize the year. And in the last fund is the irrigation fund. Irrigation fund finished just about flush. Actually, it expenditures finished just slightly higher than revenues by just about $2,000. I know for a fact that will change. That'll reverse. We do have some adjustments that we need to make for latecomers fees and funds that the city is owed. We still have to work through getting those allocated out. So that'll change and end up most likely on the positive side. And the cash balance in the irrigation fund is $1.6 million. We forecasted that to be $1.59. It's looking like it's going to be $1.58. So, again, the irrigation fund is pretty flush. So, all in all, the city finished very well, as you would expect, based upon all the growth that's happening. And we'll provide you some more detail as we get near finalization, and we'll provide you detail on every single activity we have and anything else you'd like to know. Any questions?
Questions for John.
Mayor, I just had a couple questions regarding revenue.
Okay.
Any idea why our beer and liquor licenses are down?
I'm sorry. Are they?
It shows that we received only about 75% of what we projected.
Which
beer license? 01, 4182, 4183. I just didn't know if we lost any. Is that why they're... I have to ask one question.
Well, we haven't had any business close with alcohol, so I'm not sure. I'd have to get with John to look at those numbers. To really give you a response that was informed.
Well, they're minor numbers, so I mean it's not.
I know. I don't break the bank or make the bank on alcohol licensing, but we haven't had any substantial changes to alcohol. So I'd have to get with John, and I'll do that when I'm leaving on vacation tomorrow. But when I get back, I'll get with John, and we'll find out the answer for you and get it to you.
Well, you're leaving at noon. You can have it done by noon. thank you. I guess my only one concern, Mayor, and unfortunately the person to ask this question to is not here. I just, look disappointed once again in our county fine revenue, that 65% of what's projected. I just don't think their county is collecting that much in fines as they should be. But that's on deaf ears, and none of us can resolve that, so... Maybe if they're listening, they can hear. I want my money.
So, well, we will certainly have those discussions. Chief and I can talk. We can have those discussions, see where we're at.
I do appreciate all the effort that has gone into it. I mean, I know you guys have heard me, I'll say nicely the B word and moan for the last 4 years, but I do appreciate that numbers are relatively where they need to be, so... as much as I don't ever say thank you, I do appreciate it, so thank you. I know I say things nice every once in a while.
Where is this guy? Give us back Pat.
Oh, he ain't going nowhere. You haven't seen the end of me.
Thank you, John.
Any other questions for John? All right. Thank you very much. Item 7C, request to approve CUNA off-premise beer and off-premise wine liquor license for Bimark Corporation. Upon receipt of approved Idaho State liquor license and Ada County liquor license and appropriate fees. Chris.
Well, there's my money.
There's your money. Council, as you know, in the code, all liquor licenses have to come before council. However, the process in order for a business in CUNA to get a license, it has to be granted by the state, and then it has to be granted by the county, and then it comes here. And unfortunately, all our time frames don't necessarily meet. And Bimart is due to open potentially prior to the November 8th council meeting. And so to not burden them, what I'm asking is consideration to give me authority to approve their license once they submit the appropriate fees and once they submit their approved Idaho license and their approved county license, as well as one, their certificate of occupancy or temporary one that will be issued and will issue a business license. So it all come in one package. And then we would issue that. And then I will let you know, coming forward, I would be bringing a resolution for consideration for council to provide for the possibility of a temporary alcohol license for these situations to be issued by the clerk's office, and then it would come for official review to the council at a later date. And I stand for any questions.
Questions?
I have no problems with that.
I move we issue a conditional approval of Bimart's liquor license, contingent, obviously, upon receipt of all necessary documentation, approvals, etc.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Item D, consideration to approve resolution number R85-2017, Bob Bachman, Public Works Director.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I'll go over this real briefly and then stand for any questions. As you can see on page 2 of the document, most of the wages and benefits was the biggest increase, along with the operation cost that dictated and drove the small rate increase that we were going to see. We did spend a lot of time looking at this. Myself and Richard and John all looked at this to make sure we were getting the right information here and the right increase. The operation cost, as you can see, there's quite a bit jump in that. And a lot of that has to do with the new ponds that are coming online and just projected maintenance for the next year of the system. And the wages and benefits, most of that was either new employees or cost of living raises. Other than that, I would stand for any questions you might have.
Page 4 of 11, I noticed in the conversion to pressure irrigation portion that we're still offering the 50% connection fee, and then after, it used to say after January 1st, 2017, the full connection fee shall apply. And I see we're moving back to 2018. I don't necessarily have a problem with that, but do we have a firm cutoff date when we're going to stop offering that? My concern is just if we always push it back, is it really going to be an incentive for people to do it now instead of later? Does that make sense?
I think that actually might have been a mistake on my part. I think that should have actually stayed January 1, 2017.
Is that right?
I thought we've been doing them for a couple of years. I have a vague recollection of a conversation where we agreed we would do it for a several-year period, but I don't exactly remember when that started or when it was supposed to end.
Yeah, I think we've been, Richard Rose for the record, I think we've been doing them for 2017, according to John. I worked a little bit with this issue with Gordon, and what we were going to try to do is target a couple of the subdivisions that we wanted to get onto the PI, obviously, as you recall from a lot of our budget discussions and the irrigation. It cost us more money for the gravity irrigation, so we were going to try to target those subdivisions, let them know that they were going to be at a date certain losing that benefit, and trying to get everybody else to sign up for the PI conversion, and then figuring it into the budget. So that's kind of where it's at on that. Hopefully we can sit down, Bob, John, and I, and figure that out and try to target those subdivisions.
Okay.
So I would think that 2018, and it may bump to 2019, but at any time within the next year or so, we are going to terminate that. But I felt like it was fair to give those property owners that we wanted to get in the opportunity before we terminated it.
So should we go ahead? I mean, it says right now after January 1st, 2018, so that's in less than 2 months. Do we want to go ahead and move it to 19?
I would say that would be appropriate, yes. Okay. Thank you.
Does anybody know how many people have taken advantage of that so far? Has there been a lot, little?
Yeah, Councilmember Jones, for the record, John Marsh. Off the top of my head, I think we've probably got close to 40 that are on the connection note for the connection loan. So pretty significant relative to the number that are out there. I don't think it's vast and material, but it's pretty significant.
So it seems to be working, I guess is what.
Yes, yes, very much.
Thank you.
Okay, further questions?
I believe we're still, Councilman Cardoza, I believe we're still, that was the actual cost, so we just used the same number, if that makes sense. We didn't have it anticipated to go up for this next year.
This might also be part of the answer. I know we've been moving people into the Boise Cuna Municipal Irrigation District from other ones. So that might be it, too, if we've moved several from New York into Boise Cuna. Didn't we approve, like, five of these or something within the last couple of meetings? But it was, like, primarily the only thing we talked about during the whole meeting, and it was just Joe reading a lot. Would that account for part of it as well?
I think that definitely would have an impact on it. I do not know that yet. I think those numbers usually come in November. Mike and myself were talking about that today, and that wasn't available yet.
Okay. Are you farmers carrying water this year?
Okay. Somebody let the plug out of the creek, though. It's getting empty.
I have one more question.
Go for it.
And maybe John can answer this. Under the reconnect fee, we currently do not do after-hour turn-on for water or anything like that, do we?
No, Councilmember Jones, we don't. We stopped it as we adopted that ordinance, the billing ordinance.
Page 9 of 11 of this has a reconnect fee showing a $50 amount for after normal work hours. So I don't know if we want to be consistent that we don't turn irrigation on after hours either.
Yeah, the only time that may occur is in some sort of an error situation where the city's erred or in an emergency. So in those cases, we wouldn't be charging a fee anyhow, an additional fee. So I think it's something we could remove from that language.
Yeah, all I care is that we're just consistent across the board, so whatever we need to do to make that happen.
Okay, I just had one more editing note, and is somebody taking note of all these so that I can just make a motion that says what the change is noted? Is somebody taking note of them?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. On page 6 of 11 in the capital reimbursement assessment paragraph, third line down, pay annually a capital reimbursement fee of, comma, 2%, just remove that comma. And with that, I move we approve resolution number R85-2017 with the changes noted.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve resolution number R85-2017 with the noted changes. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. We have no ordinances, so you can listen to me read all night. Is there anything council wishes to announce? Or?
Mayor, I had two quick discussion items. I don't know if this would fall under Bob or not. I know there's been some possible inquiries about maybe having a handicapped parking spot in front of the community hall. I don't know if that's something we can look into, possibly, if it's feasible to do, if it works in our guidelines.
Councilman Jones, if I understood, you're requesting that there needs to be?
Yeah, I've had a couple people ask about it because there is none there. The only one that's close is actually in the post office parking lot, but one right on the street itself. I know there's two parking spots out front, but to possibly change one of those into a handicap. At some point.
Actually, ADA requirement would require that there be one there. So probably what we'd have to do is make that request to ACHD, and then most likely we would end up helping them get that done.
Okay. They ACHD told me that it was the city's responsibility, so that's why I brought it up.
Okay.
There you have it.
But I'll let you handle that. You're that. The other thing I have, and you guys are all going to shoot me for this, does that camera work? We stream live council meetings?
We are set up to do it. We're missing a component to go live, but other than that, basically we didn't budget. I think it's a computer thing. It's not really my strong part. But basically there's some more software that we'd have to get. Once we get the software, then that computer can go live. So.
I have something.
Camera.
This is directed at, I think, probably Chris and Bobby. Tell me if we already have this. What I would love to see as we do our website fixing-upping is if we could include information about the park. So I've seen this great chart that has some of the amenities listed at different parks, but just this weekend it came up with somebody who was looking for a place to play basketball. And, like, they knew of the one in Bernie Fisher, and then they just drove around to other parks to see if there was a basketball hoop anywhere because they didn't know where else they could get that info. So I know we already have some of the amenities listed, like bathrooms, playground equipment, that sort of thing. But would there be any way we could either add some additional amenities to the chart or maybe have some feature where you could, like, click from a drop-down or, like, you know, these are the things I'm interested in, and then it would return the parks that have any of them? Something like that?
Chris, you want me to kind of go first? Okay. Yeah, and especially moving forward with the new software we're getting for the website update,
yeah.
We definitely like to do that.
Cool.
And try to make it so everybody knows where everything's at. So, yeah, that's huge. That'd be awesome.
Excellent. All right. Thank you.
Shuffleboard at Bobby's house. All right. So we have a candidate forum. Thursday, 6:30 at the high school commons. So try to make that if you're a candidate.
That will be streamed live on
Facebook Live.
Facebook Live on the Chamber and I believe the QML News website. Maybe, yeah. Well, I know one of them will. I know for sure the Chamber will. So, but. It'll be on there, so you can watch it live for those that can't attend.
Excellent.
Very good. Does anybody have anything else? I'm sure there was something I was going to say, but I don't know what it was.
Yeah, me too.
All right.
Oh, don't forget that our next council meeting is on a Wednesday because of the election.
Right. Very good. All right, meeting adjourned. Thank you very much.